we're back.
So here's my question. Do you think that we would be in the place that we are now as a country and as a society?
Oh, no, not that.
If Louis was not on this show, if Teresa had not met Louis, do we think that we would be where we are now?
Let's see. What does the timeline look like if Teresa never met Louis?
Teresa and Joe and Melissa were getting along. Not to say that that's going to last forever, but they seem to be getting along.
In this time, in the timeline that we're in, the imaginary timeline?
No, the real timeline before Teresa met Louis on the side of the street.
Oh, you're on the side of the street.
And I mean that literally. Yep, they met each other on the street.
And I'm just by her, Louis, did you plan that? Like, did you stalk her and plan that? Because that's the thing. And I was like, did you like potentially, like intentionally place yourself in Teresa's path?
We saw it with
to
Brooks.
Run into her.
Oh, I also like blue cheese olives.
Sir, like, you know what her menu order is. You've watched this goddamn show.
So, maybe, maybe not. I do think that Louis is a great con artist. I think he's like one of the best ever to be able to weasel his way onto this like major platform and like take the biggest star or like the most important star on Bravo and completely like make her repeat the same mistakes that she did. That sent her to jail is just sort of like stand by your man, believe your man, like ditch your whole family. And like, oh, my goodness, like that is very impressive of Louis. So, you know, that is the American dream. It is what we do here. We con, we lie, we cover up.
Oh,
so I'm
no.
Like, you know, he studied his history books.
Allegedly, word on the street, uh-oh. Allegedly. He took out $1 million policy on their home, which is also, I think, in his name for reasons that may or may not make sense.
For when he like commits arson against it and gets $1 million?
I don't think it's about, LOL, and this is a comedy podcast, so we're not being literal about that. I think it's, you know, because Mr. I have tons and tons and tons of money. Mm-hmm. Why would you need to take out a loan against the house for $1 million if you have all of this money?
Oh, a loan against the house, not a policy.
I think it was a loan.
Oh, okay.
I think it was a loan.
Policy,
no,
sorry,
sorry,
insurance.
Sorry. No. I think it was a loan. Okay. I think it, but like, why do you need, listen, I don't
what do you need $1 million for? What are you doing?
Are you starting a business? I don't know. Or are you continuing a business that's supposed to be like, I look like I have tons of cash and mm-hmm. here I am. I mean, I think it's great that he's supporting Teresa's kids, his stepkids with yep. like college, all of that's yep. great. But like, why do you need to take out, if this is even true, it might not be true, but like Jim Leonard, if you're listening, why do you need to take out $1 million? I don't understand that. I don't know that I need to. I guess
it sounds like you need to.
I do think I need to. I am so nervous for this woman. And Teresa, I've gone through seasons where I fucking hated her mm-hmm. and seasons where I was like, oh, you know what? She's fun. Like, I'm not anti-Teresa. I'm really not. I absolutely have points where I strongly dislike her and I understand why people really don't want to fuck with her. But I want to see her doing okay. Like, I want to see the kids in a place where they're in a family structure that works for them. That's yeah. healthy. That speaking of trauma, these children are not able to see their dad every day because he's right. not allowed back in the country. Like, I don't care if you're 19 when that's still happening or 12. That is still a trauma that stays mm-hmm. with you that you have to try to figure out. That's a lot of pressure to put on these kids.
Put them in therapy.
I think, no, they are in
therapy.
Are they
in therapy?
Yeah,
okay,
she's
good job. Be
yeah.
in therapy.
I think she's in therapy too, which is great. And also her mother-in-law is a psychologist or something.
Oh, well, that's not good. Don't do that. Like, no.
Mom
like,
seems okay. Like,
No. But like, you don't want to go to your in-law.
No. Like, she's not going to. But like, she's getting some of that language. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
yeah,
good.
And like, Louis has probably weaponized that language yeah, to be, like, that is a thing that's... for narcissists to be able to weaponize mental health language
well,
for your own aims. And now that you're saying that his mother is a therapist, like, oh, yes, that would make sense. like those building blocks do make sense.
I am nervous for her, and also not as important by far, but like, I'm nervous for us if we keep watching this man on TV and we're trying to rationalize some of the stuff that happens. This is the by any means necessary of like, it's not even by any means necessary of I do a bad thing and I'm trying to explain it. The by any means necessary oftentimes is the cognitive dissonance to ignore something that seems pretty likely that it happened. How much neurosa and paranoia do we need to apply to make 3 and 2 equals 6? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not going to add up in that way. We're not getting that math equation that's suggesting that there's this like master conspiracy to make Louis look worse than he is. Sure. Some of that's real. Wait, with like Marge and talking to exes. Like, I believe that, but like 3 and 2, does it not equal 5?
I just wish everybody was here to see this right now. She just went full Alex Jones. Like, she's a little red. Like, the arms are flailing.
This is my InfoWars, like, Sam. We cannot go down this path. Like, surely we as a community and a country can come together and have an honest conversation about this man. And it's, we don't need to go into the, but Joe Gorga sucks. You're expecting me to disagree with a lot of that, which is an inaccurate statement. Like, he's not the guy I would want to be married to on this list. I would go more Joe the plumber route and really more Evan, to be honest. Those are probably shut up. He's hot. Leave me alone. It's like, those are closer to the guys that I would. And also Danielle's husband.
Yes, Danielle's husband is
Mr.
Hot.
Danielle. I don't remember his name.
I don't know. Mr. Savide, Michael? No, that's tumor. Not it. Like something.
Yeah, which is incredible. Yes. Like, let's talk more about that. Like, mm-hmm. what he's gone through and experienced. Like,
that is like my, like, if I had like one of my top 5 types, it would be him.
Oh, yeah. Like, sort of bland? Vanilla? Like, but we want to marry vanilla. You should marry vanilla. Like, not even French vanilla.
Yes, like beefy basic potato. Vanilla. Yes. Yeah. Like, I want a chunky potato who has been through something.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yes.
He's very attractive.
Yes. So I would
take
him.
He's too cute for me. I need someone with character. You need to know. That's not the kind of guy. Again, like, bro culture. He's not a bro. Well, he's like a New Jersey kind of bro.
But like, bros Jersey are fine. Like, he seems like a nice bro.
He is. There are nice bros that exist. And they're like, more limited.
Yes,
but
like himbo bros. Like, yes, good-hearted bros.
Not a single one exists on Summer House, but yep, 100%. You're not going to find one. We thought we did, but we were wrong. So it's like, it's hard sometimes because it becomes the like, well, you are, but so am I. You know, like the, what's that fucking thing that we yelled at each other when we were children? Like, I know what you are, but what am I? Yeah, where it's like, we get into that area and you don't have to disagree with this. I'm sorry, LOL, you don't have to disagree with it.
You can agree.
You don't have to agree with this. It's hard for me to talk about New Jersey without focusing on this man, because I think I can exist in a place where I'm comfortable watching Teresa and Melissa be mad at her. I was comfortable watching Teresa and Marge, but now it's gotten to a place where it's really tough.
But even that would be like, that would be so much easier to watch if there were no Louis, because we wouldn't have the whole like surveillance angle of you digging up stuff and calling my son and all of that. Like, that part took it to a nastier, like a much nastier place for Marge and Teresa because of Louis.
Yeah, it's like George Orwell executive produced last season of New Jersey, and I didn't need that. Again, a simple mind.
We have so much surveillance going on in New Jersey. Your lives are not that interesting.
And lawyers who are maybe acting as your paid intern doing weird things on Twitter and whatever, like, we should not have this amount of time. We should find other
things
in our lives.
Why don't we have jobs and hobbies?
Why don't we have hobbies that don't include... And I'm not saying that Teresa's the only one doing it. Again, because it goes back to the like, well, other people are doing bad things. I agree. That's why this show is in a really tough spot. It's not just Teresa. It's other people. But it's led by this amount of anger. And I think we could have extinguished some of it. If you are a Teresa stan, I would make the argument that removing Louis from the picture helps you in being a tree hugger versus Marge, because some of Marge's anger, a lot of it is because she feels very strongly that her child was threatened in some way by something having to do with a cast member and potentially that person's spouse or someone representing them. If you remove that from the equation that it didn't exist,
to lighthearted. We can just get over it in half a season.
Or maybe not even lighthearted, but I think it would be an easier way potentially. Yeah. I'm just trying to help tree huggers go down the road. Like, you could plant more trees if we didn't have this stuff happening.
You're asking for them to campaign to Teresa to leave Louis.
I'm just asking.
So that we can watch our television program again.
Listen, we'd still be fucked either way, but I'm just asking for there to be the possibility that, like, maybe he's not great and he's having more of an influence in where we are now than not.
Do you think that the tree huggers are also Team Louie, or do you think there's some nuance there where they're like Team Teresa and you need to get away from him?
Both definitely exist, because I've heard from people who are tree huggers, and shout out, like, genuinely I appreciate a lot of perspectives, but I definitely appreciate the perspective of like, Teresa's my girl, and yeah, because Teresa's my girl, I have concerns, versus
Teresa's
my girl, and so I'm not gonna see anything. And I think, you know, this would have been difficult for me maybe like season four to be like, I want Teresa to be okay, but I genuinely want that for her because I care about her kids. I want mm-hmm. her kids to be okay.
Her kids seem so lovely. I also would like Teresa to be in a good place just because right. it makes everyone's lives around her easier.
Right. And it's not to say, like, I get supporting Teresa. You have every right to disagree with everything that we're saying. I'm just saying, if you were interested in like adding a little layer here that might be of interest to people who feel differently, of like maybe Louis having an influence. I'm not removing accountability that Teresa should have. I'm just suggesting this might be an interesting path to take if you have an argument here that some of this is not necessarily, and I'm sorry, trigger warning, some of this is not necessarily Teresa's fault.
No.
I know that she...
I agree with that.
You know
that.
What I'm saying? Like, I think he I has a certain level of manipulating her here. And yes. I, you know, she
because
just,
she's easy to manipulate because she's
what? She's a little bit dumb. She's there a little bit dumb. But there that's okay. We're all dumb.
Are we?
No.
Okay,
thank
you. But
some of us, I am. Like, I...
Do you think you could be taken in by a con artist like that?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
No. I think that...
yes. Also, no.
I do not have a great judge of character, okay. which has kicked me in the butt a couple times with friends. Okay.
So that's why people, you have a softer spot for Teresa.
Because maybe okay. I'm also a little bit dumb. I have had people open my eyes to things that were glaring in mm-hmm. front of me that I didn't see. And it's not even that, like, yeah, maybe it is that, like, I just had trust in people that they had good intentions because okay. I have... Good not always, but right. like most of the time have pretty decent intentions. I'm not looking at people in a way that would like include potentially nefarious intent. Right. You really have to fuck with me for me to dislike you. And when I dislike you, I will hate you for the rest of your life.
Mm.
Not even my life, because I'll live with that hate in the afterlife. Like, I will not. Once you cross a line with me and I don't trust you or I feel disrespected, there is almost no way to get back to an even point, because I'm looking at you and I'm like, I fucking know who you are. But for me to figure it out takes so much more time than other people.
Well, I appreciate this nuance to your even keeled view of Teresa now. Like, I can see why you would not be as anti-Teresa as some of us, because you can picture yourself in her shoes maybe at some point.
But I also can picture the shoes of people who do love her. That's like more my thing, is like not necessarily me finding the need to find humanity in her versus like, yeah, that's true. But also
it's like, yes, no, that's true, wait, that's true.
But also like the humanity in people who I know have, who I can understand standing her. Like, I can understand that. I can understand how you come to that perspective. I can understand why you don't want to fuck with Melissa and Joe. I can understand why you find Marge frustrating to watch mm-hmm. this season. I get it. Like, I am... It's not even killed enough. I'm just like open, and I'm not precious with mm-hmm. New Jersey because I don't have a lot invested in it. And
me
that's
either,
a privilege.
And that's why I dislike
that's
all
a
of
privilege.
Them. I was like, oh, all of you are bad people. So that's why I've never been like Team Teresa or Team Melissa. I was like, oh, no, you're all criminals and crooks and bad people.
It's in different ways.
In different ways. So like, I am not on anyone's side. I just, you know, have an extra, I think a lot of my anti-Teresa comes from how big and important to the show she is. Because it's like, to me, she is just like, she's no more, she's not Jesus. I mean, like, she's dumb just like Melissa's dumb. Like, these are all, like, not bright people. There are not a whole lot of bright bulbs on New Jersey for like, especially when you compare it to how brilliant New Yorkers, like the New York ladies were, like,
well,
being
now
so
we're
smart.
Just coming out as stereotypical against New Jersey folks.
That's fine. Have you been there? No, I'm
no,
just
I
kidding.
I always
like, have you
joke.
Been to the, have you flown no. out of that airport? And was like, clearly incompetent people did this.
Well, then every time I look at a flight, which is often because I'm always on Google Flights, it says like New York, you know, New York mm-hmm. airports. And when they include Newark, I'm like, no,
mm-mm,
not mm-mm. EWR.
Oh my gosh. Like the worst travel experiences of my
we'll
life
never do it.
Have happened coming through Newark in some way.
Can't do it.
And
not
so
for
I'm
me.
Like, this is the worst. So like, yes. I'm sorry if you live in New Jersey.
No, we love New Jersey.
Okay. So it's her podcast.
Garden State.
Go with that.
Garden State. Like, right? I remember I once went to Newark to see Liza Minnelli because obviously I did. And because I was friends with her production manager. And like,
okay, drop that. I was friends with her production manager.
Shout out Rocky. And I, production manager, lighting man, I forget. But so we went to the show, and it was in this like gorgeous theater. Couldn't tell you what it was, but we were going, I forget if we took a bus there or a train, had to be a train. We get into the train station, and this woman looks at me and just starts yelling of like, "You fucking Jew." And I was like, how did she know?
How'd she get down? Were you wearing a sign?
I wasn't.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
goodness.
You're a couple of years ahead of your time. But like, also,
was she just calling everybody a fucking Jew?
No, I think it was specific to me.
Oh,
I
my
was
goodness.
Like, this is a weird introduction to Newark. But then also, yeah, like shalom. And I'm on my way to see Liza Minnelli. So if you want to stereotype me, you're like well on your way. But I haven't really seen a lot of New Jersey. That's my
but that's
most.
Enough.
That was a little bit of a that was a little bit of a okay, this is going to be one of those nights.
Yes.
Of a little bit extra sparkly, I guess you could say. So I don't know. I think it's sometimes hard when we just call people dumb, because I do feel like sometimes it's limiting, but I also understand Teresa limits herself.
Yes, because when I say dumb, like I'm not, it's not like a
You're not looking down at her.
No, I look down at people who aren't inquisitive, and I use that. I use dumb as a placeholder for that, and I probably should.
She's
like,
relatively
work on that
incurious.
Language. Yes, like I don't like it when you have like no curiosity about you to understand what someone is saying, or to understand the world around you, or to how to pronounce ingredients to your recipes. Like
ingredients. Thank
sorry.
You so much.
Like that is wild to me to not have any curiosity, especially after you went to jail because you weren't being curious enough about what you were putting your name on, and still you come out of it and you are still not a curious enough person to know that you are shacking up with the con man. Like, this is wild to me. How are you?
But the spectrum there is so limited of like, you're not curious because you're staying married to this man that you love
because you got shacked up with him in the first place. Like the
but
way
if she was taken advantage of, that's not a sign of, that's just she was a victim of this.
Okay, because you're not curious. Like, the evidence was right there. Did you not see the video?
She didn't know to look for evidence.
She didn't see the videos that we
she
saw.
She didn't know to look for evidence.
It was given to her.
He saw a guy in a beach, and she said, he's getting a great tan. Go him. Red and splotchy.
No curiosity about any of this is suspicious.
If you love, Teresa Giudice, Giudice is not the first person. I always have to say it in threes. It's the Holy Trinity. She's not the first person to fall in love, potentially, spoiler alert, with a bad guy.
Twice.
Yeah. Three times a charm.
Wait, let's see who's next.
She's not the first person in the world.
John Jansen will be single soon.
God forbid. God for fucking bid.
Wouldn't that be fun?
No. She's not the first person in the world. And also, she's in a weird spot because those kinds of guys are not Joe, Juicy Joe, because that was so long ago. But like Louie, she's going to be targeted by certain people. Yep. Look at Vicky Gunvalson. She's like pretty curious.
Who did she have anybody after
the weird
Brooks?
Cop. Yeah, the fucking cop who like broke up with her an hour before she was going on Girls Trip. But then he like fell in love with a fan or something, and then was still
a fan
living
of
in her,
who?
Of the Housewives,
okay.
I think.
Well, I guess they sit around and talk about Vicky. I don't know, that is lore. I do not know.
I don't know. But like, there are so many women on this show who've been taken advantage of, including by people who likely were reaching out after finding out about her because of the show. Like,
I would too.
How much
like
blame
if,
we put on people for being
if
taken
I were
advantage
a con
of.
Artist, I would see Teresa as a great mark. So you are correct. I would look at the show and be like, yes, there are other people like Therese Alexia. I would see Alexia as a great mark. Like, this is like, oh, yes, I could probably.
Well, Alexia, I think, is participating in this by choice because she's getting something out of it. She's getting the show. No, I think she like, you know, what do you consider sexy? I think part of that is like, ooh, I get attention with John. That makes me feel hot and bothered. Like with Teresa and Louie, she fell in love with this man.
She did.
And
I do believe she loves him.
he's not the, maybe he's, let's for argument's sake,
okay,
because that's the point okay. of the show.
I we will have, see the other
people
side.
People have hot opinions, and I'm not saying that you need to agree with them, but I am saying we need to normalize sitting in a place of discomfort. And if you only want to hear your opinion every episode of this podcast, this is not the podcast to be on, especially because I change my
disclaimer.
Mind. No, but I change my mind every 30 minutes. It's a nightmare being me because I often am like, wait, oh, but this other thing happened and now I don't know. And now I need to like think about stuff for another 6 hours before I have another take. Like it's not necessarily a great thing, but it is something that is real that exists. Like, and it can be hard sometimes. I actively look for tree huggers to come on the show. I want to be challenged. I want to have somebody have a different opinion. It can be hard sometimes when it's a by any means necessary conversation, because it's hard if you're speaking in absolutes. This is a tough podcast to go on, but there are podcasts that exist that are great, that should exist, because they do get into by any means necessary. This is just not,
this is not
that
girl.
Plot. And I'm going to have opinions that you very well might not agree. I'm not saying that my opinion is right, but I am going to express it. That's what I'm supposed to do here. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to sell me
on it. People are going to come on this podcast who have differences of how we identify politically. That's going to influence our opinion, how we yep. think of people who we don't politically identify with. You might have a different...
Shut up.
You might have a different measurement for that. You might have a different scale for it. I am at the point in my life where I'm trying not to speak in absolutes because just too much has happened to me. And it's like genuinely, I've just experienced too much trauma that I'm looking more for, like, how do we ultimately connect? And also, am I going to have an issue with you, which is very likely if you refuse to.
Oh, if you on the next episode of Andy's Girls, unpacking trauma and our response to
no,
it.
No, that's every episode of Andy's Girls. Who are you fucking kidding? The week before Aunt Flo comes to town is always a tough one. I just feel off. I don't feel like myself. My cravings go absolutely wild. And in New York City, when you can order anything at any time, it certainly doesn't help. Thankfully, now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. And for those who are going through menopause or premenopause, when it can be equally a struggle to find comfort in your body, then you have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. And P.S., BT Dubs, Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it. But it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, HappyMammoth.com, and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There is something wonderful about the change of seasons here in New York. No, not just upping my electrolytes when I go for a relatively short walk. It's the smell of summer grilling, especially for whatever reason, I don't know why, in the West Village. It's sort of my seasonal clock. When I start to smell people, that sounds crazy. When I start to smell summer grilling outside, I know summer is upon us. And listen, I can't dig into my veggie jog or veggie burger without some bread or buns. Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread reinvented the bread and buns that make summer great. Fluffy, delicious flavor and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. For me, getting enough fiber and cutting down on sugar are key elements to feeling better throughout the day. Hero Bread also has mouth-watering limited edition bakes, like the popular 2-gram net carb Hero Croissant, as Luann would say.
C'est bon, c'est bon.
Keep the carbs out of summer without compromising flavor with Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use code Andy at checkout. That's Andy at hero.co. Now that the temperature is rising, and I don't just mean the heat coming between Lindsay versus Carl, it can be really difficult to get my hair under control. I have like this wavy, curly, frizzy, natural texture that I genuinely love, but it can be really difficult to find a product that works for my hair without feeling heavy and genuinely counteracts the frizziness that I get naturally if I don't blow out my hair. That's why I love Way. Whether your strands are fine, medium, or like mine, thick, Way has shampoo and conditioner that's your type. I love the detox shampoo because it does exactly that. It detoxes your hair. And because I am a spiritual blonde and do have some color processing, the shampoo helps clean away all the schmutz that accumulates, leaving my hair feeling lighter and better than it did before. God bless that apple cider vinegar. And yes, for that frizz, I rely on the anti-frizz cream. I put it in after I shower, do a little scrunch of my hair, and I'm good to go. Way keeps me looking like me, just a little bit elevated.
Jesse Solomon, have you heard my call?
If you want volume, Way's Fine Hair and Conditioner will give you a lift without weighing you down. Not sure what your type is? Take Way's hair quiz to find out. Wash your way to healthier hair with shampoos and conditioners made just for you. Go to theouai.com and use code Andy for 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com, code Andy. Like, it's just, it's tough. New Jersey is tough. It's why a lot of people don't cover it. It's why a lot of people don't cover New Jersey. A lot of people don't cover it. Or they'll be concerned about expressing an opinion pro Teresa or pro Melissa. Or I guess at this point, I genuinely think you need to add in Marge to that. Because I think a lot of the conflict
of
genuinely, because they're just so afraid of the response because people
can I just be pro Rachel?
Sure.
I am just pro Rachel and pro Danielle. Like, I don't agree with Danielle on a lot of stuff, but I think she's such a great character.
So, I love them together. I really do. The fact that they've come together, yes, which is, I think, what a lot of us wanted from the start. Mm-hmm. These are two new people, yep, in this weird fucking universe.
And you're probably I like that their personalities are so different. Yeah. I think it's great.
And I think they enjoy each other.
They do. I think they like that they're so different.
It would be weird, frankly, if everyone else gets fired but Rachel and Danielle. But that's also kind of funny.
Can we put that out into the universe and see if it picks up?
Other people have probably with Rachel and Danielle. Okay. Who are we kidding? Yeah.
They don't have anything else to do. I was like, oh, sorry, she's closing New York Fashion Week with her baby line. She's so busy.
If these two bougie kids, if they are the two survivors, yes, of this literal,
I would become a New Jersey stan if they made that decision.
That would be. I would laugh so hard. If like next year's BravoCon panel is like Rachel and Danielle and
introducing
four of
their new friends.
There's something that feels so wrong about that.
Oh, it feels so good. Yes.
Not have a single, can Dolo remain?
No, absolutely not. I mean, maybe if you want to see her get strung along by a 10-year divorce for more time. It was like, oh, his divorce is taking a long time. I was like, girl.
What
are you serious? Like, no divorce takes 10 years. That's just because he don't want to be divorced.
Or he doesn't want to write the final check.
Did you hear, are we allowed to say like specious things on here? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't want to talk. I have consciously avoided it.
I love it. It's my new favorite thing.
I don't even want to get into it.
It's currently my Roman Empire. Oh my god, this is so good. Like, okay, do you want to? I'm 90% sure that it's not true.
It's so legend. It's absolutely 90% cannot
sure
be
it's not true.
Okay, here's my question.
But that's why I love it so much.
It's not even about this weird rumor about Polly and his ex that I absolutely don't believe is real, and I've been actively avoiding discussing it or even winking to it. Here's my question: is who fucking comes up with that shit? Is that a fan? Is that a cast member? Like, what's
no,
the
that's
vibe?
A fan, because like the cast member, like there's no cast member that's anti Dolores in that way
that
to make
we know
that.
Of.
I don't think so. I think Dolores has done a great job of playing Switzerland, like her weird tagline. I think that nobody in the cast hates Dolores. That's how I feel.
I don't know about what's going on. I mean, allegedly, according to Teresa, there's going to be some fucking reveal at some goddamn meeting that's going to show that Marge was behind. I even forget. What are the big rumors? It was the thing about Jackie and Evan. And
oh,
there was
yeah,
another
Jackie and
rumor.
Evan. Because they already alleged that she planted that.
That Marge
because
did.
She went to the gym or the same gym, like okay. The T-neck gym or whatever. Okay. So, yeah, that was already alleged.
I thought there's another rumor maybe. That they
I
say that
not.
She's responsible for. I forget what it is. I'm losing my mind. But I mean, maybe, you know.
I don't want her to be behind that rumor. I want it to be a deranged fan.
Well, but somebody brought it. Somebody had to choose to tell a cast member. I don't know that it.
Wait,
I don't
they
think
told
it's
a cast member? I've only seen it on Twitter.
No. I think it's like what when we say someone created a rumor, does that mean you hear stuff and you tell your friend who's also on the show with you? Or does that mean you created something out of your ass and invented it so that it could serve the purpose of stirring up drama?
I think there is the kind of rumor that you pull out of thin air, but I also think there's the kind of rumor that you hear from someone, but that you know is 100% not true, but you spread it around because it's damaging, and then you have the plausible deniability of like, I heard it, I didn't make it up. So there is the kind that you just make up, but I think they get told stuff all the time, and they're like, that's obviously not true, like, this is stupid. Like, but if you hate someone enough, then you pick up this rumor to spread around, even though you know it's not true. Because it's like going to be damaging to somebody else, even though you know it's not true. Like, you didn't make it up, but you also know it's not true, so you shouldn't be telling it, but you tell it anyway because it's like, I think that's a thing that happens.
I miss the days, and I think we had one of those days today, where people could just like fight about New Jersey and it not become a huge fucking war. Like, if we are able to have...
I can still storm out if you want me to.
No, that's
okay. Okay.
If the... Next time, sweeps. Where's podcast sweep? We can do that. We can fight about like LVP and Kyle. I mean...
Do people still fight about that?
No.
Okay.
But like, you can fight about Kyle. You can fight about, I don't even know what we're fighting about on Orange County. Oh, I guess Tamra v. Shan, maybe, but I don't think people are that as invested. Mm-mm.
I don't think they have any battle lines on OC, really. It's just, which I like, because it's like anybody could fight with anybody
at
any
time.
Point.
And that's what makes it special.
It's like, who finna fight?
Yeah.
Like, when you go into New Jersey, you know who finna fight.
Well, that's the problem, is that it's just...
I don't want to know.
I want there to be some excitement. I want there to be a little bit of a risk. Mm-hmm. It's just they're too traditional right now with the battle lines.
Traditional family values, New Jersey.
We love it, but not when it comes to, you know, we're tired. People are tired of the ways that people yell at each other on social about this.
Don't like that.
I
but
don't
you know
like
what I
it.
Do like? Let's have a positive. Please. What I do love about New Jersey that has carried from like the very first episode, it still feels like the family franchise. Like when, who was it? It was Melissa and her kids.
Yep, and Teresa and hers.
No, I mean like the most recent episode where they like go play go-karts or
whatever.
Yeah.
Teresa, Rachel, and Danielle's sons.
Yeah, I was like, yes. That's what this looks like. Like, it still feels like that. Mm-hmm. They like still have a lot of the family involvement. And I think centering the cast on two young wives who have kids,
young kids
is paramount to doing that, because like, you know, everybody else's kids are old now. Like, little Frankie's what, 24? Like, Dolores
is older than that.
He's 24 and I think his sister's 28.
Oh, okay, got it.
So yeah, I'm like, these kids are grown. Like, Gia's in law school. Like, we need fresh people with children in order to keep up the kid vibe. I like seeing the kids, and like, Jen's kids are great. Like, if I were going to keep anybody for the kids, it would be Jen's kids because they just say the most random thing. Jen Aiden.
Oh, that's why. I was like, Jen?
Hessler. No, Jen Aiden. They Jen just Aiden. Say the most yeah. random things.
Well, and she's got that little girl, Olivia, who's like born to be a star. This child is like, I'm a child star yes. and y'all are going to pay the fuck attention. Like, you're going to watch what the hell it is that I
yes.
say.
So, yes, more involvement with the kids. We like the kids. New Jersey still feels kid focused, which is great. I think they're probably like the cast that has the most children in general.
Well, it used to be the cast that was focusing so much on that angle because it yeah. was, you it know, was like we're thick as thieves yeah. Yeah. was like the mission statement. Yeah. I loved that dinner scene with Frank and Dolo and Gabby and Frank Jr. Well,
like Delore,
I loved it.
That's one of the things that keeps me like sort of nobody hates Dolores. Mm-hmm. It was like if Dolores has been this good mm-hmm. at keeping her family together through like a post-divorce with a man who was a terrible husband.
Terrible husband.
Then you must have some substance. Mm-hmm. You know, like it takes a lot of talent to keep a family together and then to fully mm-hmm. integrate every man you date into this family. So the fact that like your ex-husband and your ex-boyfriend were living together mm-hmm. or like, you know, taking care of each other after a surgery. And now you have a new boyfriend come in and he has also like nicely integrated. And then he's your ex-husband's marrying a woman half his age and she's fully integrated. And there's like that takes a talented matriarchal hand. So I'm like, I don't think anybody can hate Dolores because she is too good at navigating relationships. Like
she has family values,
right?
she has family values.
Like, so she's great. I think that is very interesting. I don't think I've seen that on TV before where like a woman has had three exes on the show mm-hmm. with no beef.
Except with her. Like, David right. just didn't love her enough. Right. David just but would it, never
but
choose
even
her.
Even that wasn't beef. It was just like, you know.
He sucks.
Or, okay.
He's a great friend.
Surgeon
to,
or doctor.
Sure.
Or
he yeah. loves his job, but he's choosing his job. Dolores deserves to have someone who's choosing her. She
choosing
shouldn't
his
have to
job
beg for that.
And her ex-husband.
I
like,
know.
I think he, like, if he had the choice between Frank and Dolores, I think he would pick Frank.
He picked Frank. Well, yeah. We watched him make that choice for
which
literal
is hilarious
years.
Hilarious to me.
Okay, listen, we need to wrap this episode, okay. But before we do, oh my God, we went a little bit long. I need you to do something.
Oh,
for me.
What is it?
Just do me as his favor, okay? Because
we'll
I want
see.
Us to end on a healing journey, okay. Whitney okay. Rose style.
A healing.
I would love for you to say three nice things about Teresa.
Oh, Teresa's a fabulous mother. Mm. Like, she has raised four wonderful children. Mm-hmm. And I think she's also a very strong person. I think it takes a lot of strength to be able to raise. Well, I don't know if that goes in with the.
She's a survivor.
Yeah, she's a survivor. Come on, Reba. I think that to be able to do that in the public eye with these girls, they, you know, it's fantastic. And I think that she is true to herself. Like, she's not wishy-washy. And I think that is like a statement of character. Like, even if I don't agree with who you are as a person, mm-hmm. I do appreciate anybody who has like this is who you are and I know what I'm going to get. Like, it makes it easier to navigate relationships when people are not all over the place. And I was like, I know who you are and you are true to that person. You have been consistently that person. And that takes a lot of strength to do on a television show, too, for like 14 years. Like, just you are Teresa.
I love that. And guys, we are going to sit in silence for 10 seconds. If you're a tree hugger, I want you to say out loud, it's okay, wherever you are, supermarket, at home with the kids, tell the kids to do whatever the fuck they want. 10 seconds. I want you to say three nice, you're going to have to speak quickly. Say three nice things about whichever person you hate more, Melissa or Marge. We're going to do a countdown starting at 10 and we're off. And we're back. 10 seconds.
Wow.
I'm concerned that people were just listing grievances, which feels appropriate for me, frankly. So I get it. But hopefully you took a little time to, in the words of Joy Behar and various others, to enjoy the view. You know what I'm saying? Just take a little time. Just take a little time and enjoy the view. It's okay to, we can all go back to hating whomever. And
Not hating. I don't hate anyone.
We don't hate anyone.
There we go. We don't do that.
We don't do that.
No, we are not fans of some. We're not fond of certain people.
And dumb is a state of mind.
Dumb is a state of mind. And I will work on that language. After saying it so many times in one podcast, I was like, oh, you really need to work on that. Like, so I will.
It's nicer than stupid.
Well, yeah, but like they serve the same spot. And I don't think it's a nice word. I don't want to use it anymore.
Well, it's hard when we're talking about women and qualifying them as dumb, but it's not helped when other people in the cast are also calling the same person dumb. Like, we just watched an episode where several people on Jen, Aiden, Dolo, whomever else was at the table nodding their heads, was like, she just needs a little time to cook.
But
like,
she just
needs a little time to cook.
People have different kinds of intelligence.
Exactly.
And Teresa clearly has a kind of intelligence that maybe that I'm not recognizing. Like, she has a kind of intelligence that has allowed her to be the center of the show for the past
very
14 years or however. This kind of intelligence that has led her to be a great mother. I don't have that kind of intelligence.
I don't have
that instinct. Mm-mm. So I will, by the next time I come on this podcast, I will have removed dumb from my vocabulary.
Wow, wow, wow.
And have found different ways to express different kinds of intelligence that I may value more than other kinds.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm going to work on, is my takeaway.
I love that.
Yes.
I think that's wonderful, and it's such growth, and it's a curiosity that you have for yourself and how you express yourself that I think is incredible. And again, to any tree huggers who have been harmed by this episode, welcome to Andy's Girls. You know, it's not always going to be an easy ride, depending on how you're thinking of things. Can I just say one quick thing?
Sure.
And we've been recording for 18 years. And I think I mentioned this on a Patreon, but I think I've also just been introducing it in day-to-day conversation, because we did talk about Bethany and Chanel for 2 seconds. This does not have anything to do with anything. I just wanted to put it on the public record that Bethany has put out 17,000 TikToks and Instagram stories where she's mocked Chanel, but also is attempting to say she's mocking herself, but not really, for the fact that she was in Chicago, went to a Chanel in essentially loungewear, athletic wear, and was not allowed in because they said this is by appointment only today for various reasons.
Right.
She said it was elitist that she wasn't allowed in because she was in athletic wear. So she went back the next day in full Chanel so that she could do a loop. She just went inside to show people
that
she was allowed
inside.
And then she went out immediately. To have that kind of time is a fascinating journey to me. I just want to say something that I've literally been saying to strangers, my dry cleaner, you know, whomever I see day to day, the loves of my life, my people, that I think, and this is not new information, everybody else is like, yeah, no fucking duh, that the real elitism is thinking that you should be allowed into a place when they have already established their guidelines. Bethany, to me, is just finding out about like the class system, and she's shaken that Chanel is exclusionary, because she's just used to it being exclusionary because it's so fucking expensive and she can afford it. So that was never a problem to her. The problem for Bethany is that she was not given a special exception of who she is. Like, that to me is the issue, is that Bethany wants Chanel to be as elitist as it always was,
but
with
to
giving
recognize,
her a preference.
Like I'm Bethany.
She's special.
Right.
Like, I understand the argument she's attempting to make.
Should come from somebody else.
But it should come from, and also if they're telling you that their guidelines are that for various reasons, security or COVID or just staffing, that you can only have so many people at once. I've walked by Hermes and maybe Chanel, but I've seen it a lot with Hermes where it says appointment only.
A lot of stores are like that.
A lot of stores are like that.
Like, her scientific experiment doesn't have enough controls of the variables, because like she would have needed to do that on the same day, because maybe they were appointment only for everybody that day. Maybe somebody didn't come in. Maybe they were understaffed. Maybe they had a private party. She doesn't know any backstory to why they were appointment only. She is assuming they were telling her appointment only because she was wearing. But in retail, there are so many other reasons why they could have been appointment only. And then the day she comes through, like, maybe they were fully staffed. Maybe they weren't appointment only. Maybe they're appointment only during the week because she went on a Saturday. We don't know what the other variables there were, other than one day I'm dressed like this and one day I'm dressed like this. Like, we have no idea.
Don't make me defend Chanel. is what I'm trying to say.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
it's ridiculous. I'm on Team Chanel. That feels right. Ludicrous to me. Razor prices 1,000% every other hour. And I'm like, oh, poor Chanel. Like,
I don't care about either parties in this fight. I just, I like honesty in my indignation. And Bethany's indignation does not feel honest to me. That's like, yeah. If you're going to be mad about something, I want you to like be standing in some kind of truth. And she's not standing in a truth with this indignation. It's so wild that she has picked this as her current crusade. Like, oh my goodness, what an insufferable person. I'm so sad that I was such a fan.
I know. Sure. The level of arrogance that she has is like not ideal to watch. And also, if you go in with sweats, but you're wearing $1 million of diamonds, my guess is that people might not see the sweats. They're going to see your stupid fucking milk diamond ring. It's milky. It's a milky diamond. And I know that things didn't work out with Paul, but like things didn't work out with that stone either.
Oop.
And I also think having worked in retail for many years at, you know, upscale, at Saks, at wherever else they might identify as upscale, that I don't know, jury's out. But typically, certainly people place judgment and stereotypes when it comes into retail and in various terrible, oftentimes racist ways. I remember one of the rules of the game was when someone came in with sweats, they were ready to fucking pay.
Yeah.
If you came in your Sunday best, the chances are pretty high that you're coming in because you feel good and you look great and mazel tov.
You're
going to
walk
around.
Day, right?
I'm going to go up to the person who's like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, like ready to go.
Yep.
Those are the people who are likely shoppers. I know that because when I am dressing up to go into, I'm just there to look good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I'm not buying anything.
Like, I'm having a day.
I'm just having a day. So I don't believe her argument in any way. And I know that what people really want after weeks of being exhausted by her bullshit is my dumb takes, being a dumb. But like, I just needed to say it because I just think it's so stupid. And it's just, it doesn't make sense. It hurts my heart as a Bethany stan to see how far she has fallen. She makes me agree with my current assessment more and more each day. And that is so frustrating to
me.
And
that's why I ignore most of the housewives outside of the show. I know like a lot of people know, but when I have to like rank my favorite housewives, it is solely based on who they were on the show.
Wow.
No social media, because like I am judging the show on the entertainment value
that
it gave me,
not
what they were doing outside of it. So that's how like somebody like Candace can land in my top 10 or like Bethany can land in my top 10. I was like, you were a monster outside of it, but like I was watching a show and you gave a great show. The show was fabulous. So that is what I am judging you on. But if I'm going to rank them on like people, like, because like Ramona's a terrible person, but she was a great housewife. So I'm like, yes, you brought a lot of entertainment value to the show. I can put you in the top tier of my housewives. But like, do I think you're a bad person? Absolutely. You go in the bottom of the people pile and the top of the television pile. This is a thing we can do. We can keep these concepts separate. We don't have to combine them. Bethany was a fantastic housewife. And like, I don't think we need to let the monster that she is tarnish all of the gems that she brought to New York.
I know I'm one of many people who struggles with the all or nothing fads. Juice cleanses, soup diets, keto, hours and hours of cardio. If this cycle sounds familiar to you, and it definitely does to me, there's a better, more sustainable way to lose weight. Ro provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Ro to help them lose weight. And let's talk about the big O, obesity. 4 in 10 Americans struggle with it. So there should be no shame in the weight game. It's okay to talk about weight loss and talking about it in a way that feels healthy. With Ro, you can sign up online from the comfort of your own home. That's right, the people's couch. This means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls.
Before being prescribed medication, patients must complete an online medical visit, lab test, and qualify for medication based on their BMI, lab results, medical history, and the discretion of a Roe-affiliated healthcare provider. After watching Lala and Sandoval's behavior on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, I developed such an intense thirst. I guess it's contagious when you're talking about Vanderpump Rules. So thank goodness for Fiji Water. Fiji Water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the United States. It has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH, and unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. In fact, Fiji Water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two, giving it signature soft, smooth taste. As someone who has spoken on the pod time and time again about the importance of having electrolytes, especially this summer, Fiji fits into my lifestyle so well. Before going on a little bit of a stroll, just a short one in these warmer summer temps, I grab my Fiji Water and I am out the door. Unlike some other premium bottled waters in the market, there's no ingredient statement on Fiji Water because there's nothing added to the water itself. Fiji Water is Earth's finest water. And as someone who's currently deep in the throes of watching Bravo's Finest Television, also known as Summer House, I know that having Fiji Water by my side is keeping me hydrated and refreshed. So Lala, take that.
I won't allow her to take that away from me. We weren't wrong.
No.
We weren't. We were on the side of right.
We were. She made New York what it was.
She did. She was one of the best housewives of all time. She really was.
Yep, she's still in my top three. So there we go.
Who else is, we have to wrap. Who else is in your top three? Who else is in your top three?
So like for entertainment value, my top three is Nene, Bethany, and Candace.
Real?
Oh my God, because I think I was the only person in America who liked Candace from the very first scene because I understood exactly who she was. And I was like, yes, me. Like that, I identified her as like a pampered, kept, like black child of parents who had money. I was like, yes, you have parents to support you and you can do what you want. You have this bratty kind of, you know, I can say what I want because you have the support. You didn't have to like scratch and scrimp and say if you haven't been through anything. Like, yes, I understood who she was. And I was like, yes, I am on her team. I've never seen a housewife like this. This is great.
She had the most beautiful wedding of any housewife to get married on the show. Like genuinely gorgeous. Like
that's what money does.
It really was.
Because and I,
it was not done for the show. The show captured it.
Yep.
It would have been just as gorgeous without.
So I was a complete fan of Candace throughout her run. I was so, I'm glad she left because, you know, I don't want her on the show pregnant. Like,
no, she needs to focus on herself.
Focus on that. But like, she didn't have a flop season. I was always in every argument. I was on her side, even when she was saying things where it was like, you know, how could you say that to someone? And I was like, okay, I would have said it too. Like, I was like in the moment, heat of the moment stuff. I was like, yes, cut them down. This is great. The observations she brought into the show that they weren't willing to talk about like, you know, race and colorism and all this kind of stuff. Like she brought these conversations and she was ready to have them with people who did not have the range. I was like, yeah, because you are smart and you know what you're talking about. Unfortunately, you do not have the sparring partners to be able to dig into these conversations. But I know what you're saying because I wrote about race for 5 years. So I'm like, everything was a breath of fresh air. And when she was talking about like race is something that we talked about growing up in my home, I was like, I did too. Like we got lessons on white people growing up because my parents were so old. Like my parents had me like really late in life. So they were adults during the civil rights movement. So we got a lot of lessons about, you know, how to navigate white people. It was the Deep South, the rural Deep South. We got lessons about, you know, not getting into a car with white people you don't know, not letting white people you don't know into your car, not going to parties if you're going to be the only black person, like all of that stuff. Those were things that we talked about. And I feel like she had the same kind of upbringing that I did with like you have some money and you have parents who are well versed in race and we hadn't seen that before, and we didn't have any wives on the show for her to like really dig into it with. But I loved it. I feel like I connect with Candace as a person. So,
and also, and we quite literally need to wrap, but just
you can
to
make
add
this
on
Patreon extras.
Yeah,
I guess.
This is gonna be, this is absolutely gonna become a two-parter. But just to add on, what Candace went through with her mother, even at points when I had a real, when it was hard for mm-hmm. me to connect to the show because of what she was saying on social, it was very, very difficult. But I'm glad that I was forced to do that, because the empathy that I felt for her, even at moments when I really, really didn't want to fuck with her at all, with what her mom, how her mom
treated her,
and how her yep. mom, who is a psychologist,
yep.
how she used her degree and yep. her specialty to, I think, emotionally abuse her child, and to say that I am going to diagnose you as a way to shame you for your mm-hmm. behavior and do that in a clinical sense, to me was like, I really, I feel to this day, regardless of how she's behaved, and I do think she's grown a lot on the
yep.
show,
she has.
And especially of recent too. I just, what she has been through and maybe continues to be through in some mm-hmm. way, just dealing with like a complicated relationship with her mom, I have really total empathy for her. I really
and
genuinely
I felt
do.
That too. I had, you know, I didn't have great parents. You know, I was like a queer kid in the deep South with mm-hmm. very conservative Christian black parents. So it was a terrible, terrible ride once I came out. So I identified with all of that. I was like, yes, you have this respect for this person as like, you know, a black culture kind of like respect for your parents at all times. Even when you know they are damaging you. Because at any time, Candace could have just been like, I'm not talking to this woman ever again. And I feel like people with a maybe different cultural upbringing would have been easier to just cut her off. And I was like, just don't talk to your mom. Like, she is a terrible person. She is damaging you. She's making you cry. She's making fun of you. She's hitting you with a purse. Like, yeah, oh, just don't talk to her. I wouldn't have been able to either. Like, even now, like, my mom has been, she passed away, like, what, 11 years ago or something? And even now, I can't, people tell me like, oh, write your memoirs. I can't write my memoirs until my dad passes away because it feels disrespectful.
We can't go near right. it because I'll literally cry. Right. We'll talk about
I feel that cultural upbringing of like, just respect your parents at all costs, even when they are being, you know, damaging to you or mean to you. Because when my dad got into a car accident a few years ago, I went down to take care of him. I went down to take care of this man. I stayed down south for almost 3 months because he broke both of his arms, both of his legs, 2 ribs, a jaw. So I was like shaving him and, you know, washing him, feeding him, all of this stuff for months. And he still, like, the nurse would come in and was like, oh, I didn't know you had a son. And was like, oh yeah, he came down from New York to take care of me, but you know, if my daughter was still alive, she'd be the one who'd be here instead.
Jesus
even
Christ.
Through that. And you know what, I stayed for an extra month because that is what you do with the kind of upbringing I feel like we yeah. had. So definitely connect to a lot of like Candace's, and also like growth and being able to see the other sides. I mean, in part one of this podcast, I just decided to remove some harmful language out of my vocabulary based on like reflection. And that's something I wouldn't have done 5 years ago. People would just still be dumb. So that's growth.
I think it absolutely is growth. Growth, LOL. Words are hard. I also think, you know, dynamics that we have with potential toxic family members are so complicated. And I think that there's space that we can provide for people who do not feel like it is, who are in an environment or in a structure, in a tradition where they make the decision for better or worse to entirely disconnect. Mm-hmm. And like, I give so much space and love for people because that is the safest decision that they can make for their life, for their mental health stability, potentially physical stability. I do not believe with any fiber of my being that you should be forced to remain and have a relationship right. with someone who might be toxic or abusive. I do not care if they are your parent or mm-hmm. your sibling or whomever else. And I also provide space for people who may have disconnected temporarily, who are saying, you know what, this connecting in some way will bring me peace.
Yeah.
And I think it's all about like your healing. And if mm-hmm. we talk about normalized change your mind based on information, the decisions that we make with family members are so complicated. Mm-hmm. And so is life. It's like, one person may decide that this is the thing that means I can't move forward. And one person might decide that for whatever reason, again, family, tradition, whatever else, I'm maintaining a relationship. And right. I just hope that at that point in time, when you're able to heal and move on. Maybe it's while having maintained a relationship or not that you're able to. It's very, very complicated.
Yep. So I think we have told your listeners to give space for people to be themselves. Like everything we go through informs our future decisions. Everybody's path is different. Like I always say, like we all get dealt a different hand of cards.
Yeah.
You don't compare your hand to someone else's. It's about how you play the hand that you have been dealt.
Yeah.
Like that is what is important. So just like, you know, play your hand as best you can and let somebody else play theirs. And everybody's journey is their own.
And also try to be gentle to yourself because the decision that you might make now might be different than the decision that you made 10 years ago, but you're only going off of...
You're a different person now.
You're a different person. You're going off of the information that you had at the time and your instinct of how to get through the next stage of your life.
Exactly.
So, you know, try to remove a little bit of the guilt and shame. And tree huggers, again, I know that you've heard some things that might be upsetting to you and that is okay. We can disagree about how we view tensions and toxicity, and also Teresa Giudice herself, and that is we're all gonna be okay.
What is this podcast
unless you
episode?
Watch the movie Civil War, in which case you need to make some decisions about how to work in terms of a national emergency.
There you go ahead and take lessons at the gun range. I
we're
suggest
not gonna
that.
End with that. Okay,
take that back.
We're not all right, gonna end with that.
What's something fun that we can end on? What else happened?
I mean,
there's a new Inside Out coming soon. That's about feelings.
No,
oh, we don't want to end on that.
My psychiatrist, when I started going to her a couple of years ago,
she said, watch that.
No, she said, you have to watch it. And I was like, I really don't want to watch it. And I finally watched it. I started to cry. And then she, like, I forget, compared me to like one of the fucking cartoons or whatever. I forget.
Is she supposed to do that?
No, she was great. She's incredible. She's incredible. She's like, really. But she was like, these are what feelings are. Because at that point, I was so tightly wound. 4 years ago, I was like so tightly wound that she's like, this is what opening up looks
like. As opposed to now.
As opposed to now,
right.
When I'm just ever so slightly lessened, ever so slightly more open. The tension has lessened just
there
a little
we
bit.
Go.
Listen, what a delightful episode this has been, all 16 hours of it. Can you tell the AGs a little bit about overpricedvodka.com, what a URL, and where people can follow you on social?
So I'm overpricedvodka everywhere, overpricedvodka on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. overpricedvodka.com. Why are you laughing?
Because it's so funny.
I thought it was a great name.
Isn't vodka always overpriced? That's
yes.
the whole thing about vodka,
it
right?
It is.
I don't drink it.
So I mean,
my tummy.
Yeah, it's just potato juice. But the goal was I got out of political writing because it was depressing because I used to write about politics and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm on so many pills. So now I'm not medicated at all.
Wow.
I haven't been medicated in almost 2 years now, but I still missed writing about the world. So the goal of Overpriced Vodka is just to be like, you know what? You are in a bar and the bartender and you're just shooting the shit about something, about stuff. It doesn't have to be politics. I write a lot about like Beyonce currently just because it feels important. That's what it is. I don't write regularly. Like I used to write 3 or 4 times a week. Now I have a finance job. So like maybe I'll drop something like 2 or 3 times a month instead. But it's always something that I like care about. I'm like, yes, I want to write about this fun thing. If you want a place to just read about random things,
I love that.
Shooting the shit with the bartender, Overpriced Vodka.
And your handles you said on social are the same?
Yep.
This is Instagram.
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They're all Overpriced Vodka. I thought it was a great stroke of luck to be able to get all those. Like, I was like, Overpriced Vodka doesn't exist anywhere.
That's so fascinating.
It's so great on Instagram because I get tagged by people all over the world because they'll just be in a bar and they will tag their drink Overpriced Vodka. So I get these tags from like random people because they have no idea that this is an actual name. They're just like tagging Overpriced Vodka, and then I'll go to their thing and like comments on the picture and like haha, and they're like, oh my god, it's a real person. There's like some 19-year-old girl in New Zealand was like out on the town like tagging her drinks.
Grey
and I
Goose.
Went to her comments and she's like, oh my god, and then like tagging her best friend. She's like, this is so cool. I'm like, yes, I am. Thank you so
you
much.
You are. You're very cool. And I loved this episode. Speaking of love, I would love it if you join the Andy's Girls Patreon. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes like a 45-minute live reaction deep dive to the Orange County trailer that is up now. Obviously, I talk a little bit about Shan, so you can listen to that episode at patreon.com/andysgirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and also allegedly Threads. And what a delight. What's your favorite overpriced vodka?
Oh, I don't even drink vodka. That's the funny thing.
Oh, okay. I love that. I love drinking for you.
I'm a whiskey drinker. So like Knob Creek, Teelings, okay. Like very much that. I don't drink vodka. It's weird.
Also, speaking of uppers, I do want to shout out my antidepressant because I am very much team medication. So if you're taking an antidepressant, we see each other and I love it every day. So listen, guys, thanks so much for listening to this very short episode and... We will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.